I want to talk to you something that we've all heard probably thousands of times. But you know, when you go to teach, the best way to learn the Bible is to be a Sunday school teacher. Because then you get down in there and you dig and you study. And you want to say this about this, but by the time you get through, you got so much in there, you don't know what to say because you start learning things. And so I've got some notes. I'm going to be going through them. I'm going to read some scriptures. And I want to talk today about Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Now, I might call Moses Noah, but now you know I'm talking about Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, because I'm nervous as a cat up here. But and I don't want you to raise your hand, if you want to say something, it's all right, but this is an informal deal. There's nothing formal about this. But when you think of Moses and the Promised Land, what do most people think about? 40 years the children roamed. God's children roamed in the wilderness 40 years. Every time it comes up, it seems like to me, that's what I think about. Well, this morning, I want to give you a little bit, maybe something different. Maybe not. Maybe you already knew it. I was hoping Brother Valentine was going to be here, because when I don't have know something, I usually go to Brother Valentine if I can't get to Brother Baggett. But we're not going to ask you to stand or anything else. But, you know, when God sent his people up to the mountain, God was ready for the Israelites to just take him at his word, go on to possess the land that he gave them. You know, he was ready. And I always read this like God sent them out to explore the land. Or Moses sent them out. That I don't see it that way now. God, he expected them to take the promised land right then. And sometimes he does the same thing with us. He promised us something. And we say, okay, God, but, you know, like I did. Okay, God, but you give it to me. And the Lord told me when I walked outside to call Brother Baggett, I said, Lord, you're going to have to give it to me. He said, I already did. I said, what? You already gave me what you want me to talk about? Yeah. So this morning, I'm going to try to, I've already got 5 minutes gone. Praise God. I could have done two things this morning. I could have sang a couple of solos and I'd have got rid of about everybody but three. And then we could have just had Sunday school, you know. But God didn't see it that way. So if you don't quite see it the way I do, it's okay. Like one of our preachers used to say, I'm not going to get mad at you if you don't agree with me. I don't mind you being wrong. You know, so. But you know, as it often goes, when God went to give them the promised land, they had some doubters amongst them. And really all they had to do was go. Just go. God said, go possess the land. But they had doubters. If God gives you a promise, he doesn't usually, I don't think, put stipulations on it like we do. You know, God, if you want me to teach, you give me the thing. I don't know if God works that way. He works in different ways, but if God says it's yours, then I believe it's yours. There were some doubters, and I believe they probably got together and said, we better go check it out for fear of being destroyed. Even after God had delivered them, he had brought them out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. And not only did they walk across on dry land, when the Egyptians came, the water covered them over, drowned them, and also ruined all their material things, too. So they couldn't come after them anymore. That he gave them manna to eat, even gave them water out of a rock. Man, you know, God has healed me of a lot of things. And y'all know that God has healed me. And I could never turn my back on him, I don't believe now, ever. But, you know, these people had just experienced all of that. I mean, they didn't go to sleep and somebody built a wall and then they went across it. God just rolled back the water. He did all these things. And how soon do we forget? It seems like if they had all of these promises, that they would have, when he said, go possess the land, man, it would have been a charge, you know. We're going to get what's ours. Okay, we're going to read Deuteronomy. No. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. All right, then we're going to read 17 through 33. Y'all don't have to stand. This is real informal. Y'all just sit. I didn't even see y'all get up. I was so. All right, and then 17 says, And Moses sent them. See, it sounds like Moses sent them. I mean, it says Moses sent them. But just you'll see in a minute. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. Remember that. Be of good courage. And bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin. And y'all forgive me because I don't know these names. I'm gonna go through them. But unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shai, I guess, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, that they bear it between two upon a staff. Now, I'm going to stop just a second. You ever seen people, when they kill a deer, they put a deal between their shoulders and they carry it because it's so heavy? Can you imagine grapes? Them babies must have been that big around. And they must have been really good. I mean, to take two men to carry them. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Boy, I tell you what, I like figs. The place was called Brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They should have stopped right there. Man, can you imagine? God, it's just like you told us, it's flowing with milk and honey, and if we had just went and possessed it, you know. But you know, when you're talking to somebody, you're always waiting for the but, you know. And here we go. Nevertheless, or but, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Are they strong? Is anybody stronger than us if we have God with us? You know? And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Did I give you what I was going to have as a topic? Did I tell y'all it was, what will your report be? That's what, I don't know if I told you that, but I might repeat a few times. And that bit of hesitation right there, when they said, nevertheless, stop, but, you know, that cost them 40 years in the wilderness. Now, we all say that God caused his people to go into the wilderness. God didn't cause the people to go into the wilderness. You might not agree with me, but Moses and the spies caused the people to go into it. And I'm going to tell you, when you talk about the patience of Job, if you look at what Moses does, you can say the patience of Moses, because when, I'm about to get ahead of myself, all right? And all the men that was over 20 who crossed the Red Sea, except Joshua and Caleb, died without reaching Canaan. All right? What was Moses' instructions? Is that one of a lot of our problems sometimes, is following instructions? He didn't, Brother Baggett didn't mean that. You know, God didn't mean that. Whatever. Moses gave them strict instructions. He said they were to find out what kind of land Canaan was. Was it good or bad? Fat or lean? Some of us can relate to that. Small or large? Also, they were to look over the people who lived there. Strong or weak? Many or few? Small or large? Next, he said, what kind of cities were there? Open or walled? They were to bring of the fruit of the land. Exact instructions, not just go check it out. And he did not say, go see if we can beat them. He just said, go check out the land. Come back and tell me what the land is. Is it wooded? You know, what everything is. Because Moses was a great man and a battle and everything else. And so they didn't need to come tell him what to do. Just come tell me what's out there, and then we'll take the initiative needed to be taken. All right, the men selected to be spies out of the land were 12 in number, one from each tribe, and every man a ruler in his own tribe. Now, I don't know, Sister Baggett probably could tell us or whatever, but I would think if he's a ruler, not only is he spiritual, but he's probably bulked up too. He's probably had some of these young guys maybe want to test him or something like that. And they were men of valor, of war. I mean, they knew what was going on. So God, they didn't just choose any Tom, Dick, or Harry, you know. They were the cream of the crop. They were among the best among the tribes, probably both reflected and influenced the spiritual condition of all the tribes. They went out for 40 days and returned with at first what seemed to be a good report. Man, it is great over there. Where you sent us? You know, I didn't hear of any of them even getting bit by a mosquito or anything. They just said it was great. It's just like God told us. But, we came into the land where thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They should have stopped right there. But they didn't. They're like some of us. We can't leave it alone. God said it. I believe it. And it's so. But then, I don't know if he really meant that or not. You know, Brother Chris, do you think Brother Baggett really, you know, we couldn't do that? Well, you know, and you can always find somebody to agree with you. You know, God has done this and God has done that. I don't know if he can do what I need or not. Sister, I can pray for you. I can pray. Well, God's going to do this and all that. Well, but I don't know. I got a headache. And I don't know if God can heal that or not. And we let that doubt slip in. And sometimes it's fear. Those 12, the 10 men, they didn't go out in faith. They went out in fear. They thought that if they followed what God said, that they were going to lose their kids, their children, and all that stuff. And you know who got to go into Canaan land? Their kids, their children, all the young ones. And the thing that they feared to them, they got to reap what they didn't get to reap. All right. They told Moses, they said, it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. Now, come on. Would you rather die 3 years ago or tomorrow, you know? And God got aggravated with him. You know, God is a God of patience and everything else. And God told Moses he was ready to smite them and disinherit them. And Moses, I didn't say no, I said Moses. Okay. And Moses, being the man of God, having God's ear, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, you can't smite them because there's a lot of people out there watching. And if you smite them, then they're going to say, these children of God, God brought them to the promised land, but he couldn't deliver them. He couldn't bring them into the promised land. So Moses pleaded with God, and God pardoned the people. But, you know, there are consequences to what we do. And the 40 years wandering in the wilderness was not a piece of cake. The people murmured against Moses. They fought battles. God didn't make it easy for them for 40 years. And the 10 spies died of a plague. I don't even know how long they lived, but they died of a plague. They didn't just not get to see it, but they died of a plague. And I've got this here. I don't know if she's got it. Numbers 14, 36, and 37. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. So sometimes we need to watch what report we bring. And I had to close all my notes to get to my Bible. It's almost 5. It's almost 10 after. I need to hurry now. See, I was worried about time, and I got to hurry now. But, you know, we talk about the 10 spies. What about the other two? Joshua and Caleb, when the hearts of the people were turned away from God by the report of the 10 spies, Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes in holy indignation. They pleaded with the people in the fear of God and urged them to believe God and obey him. How many times in today and these times has Brother Baggett pleaded with us, you know? And one thing about it, I can say that he does what he preaches, you know. And so I talk to him sometimes, and I'll tell him how I feel on this, that, and the other. And we feel a lot alike on some things, and some things we differ a little bit, but not much. And they would not accept the grasshopper complex. And they assured the people that their inheritance was a good land, well worth any sacrifice they needed to make. They would not accept the grasshopper complex. If God was for them, nothing could stand against them to claim what they had been promised. I'm going to read Numbers 14 and 6. I'm going to flip this over this way so I don't lose it again. Praise God. 6 through 10, I believe. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Not just a good land, exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Come on. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all of the children of Israel. Not only did the 10 spies give a bad report, they wanted to stone the two that gave the good report. Does that happen in today's time? Sometimes we get all excited. Man, look what God showed me. God did this and that. Yeah, but you know what? Let's don't be guilty of that. Somebody gets the Holy Ghost, buddy, you can't shut them up. We need that. You know, let them go. These two were the only two men above 20 years of age at that time that were allowed to enter the land of promise. And you know, I can't tell you exactly where, but I read that was about 600,000. And that's a lot that didn't get to go. And then I got to thinking, I better hurry. I got to thinking that how many people that must have been of God's people out there in a small area, and yet they wandered for 40 years. And where the 40 years came after reading is God let them wander 1 year for every day that they were out spying. They spied 40 days, and so they wandered 40 years. I said, what should have been relatively a short trip from Egypt to Canaan took 40 years in an area south of Israel and Judea. Moses sent out spies, 12 of them, to look over the land and bring back a report. This was a preparation for conquest. But when the 10 fearful spies, they were fearful, gave an evil report, the people rebelled against Moses and God. This delayed God's promise for 40 years. Caleb and Joshua, who followed the Lord and brought back a good report, who believed God would defeat the enemies and give them the Lord. For their faith, God rewarded them the thrill of entering the promised land. They were also given their inheritance among the tribes in the land of Canaan. I know I spent a lot of time talking about the 10 spies, but we need to talk about the faithful 2 spies. Joshua and Caleb, we need to dwell on the positive things of God, exercise our faith, and believe if God promises you something, he will deliver. Even though the majority may say one thing, if it doesn't lift up God, be a faithful servant and believe God. You know, the majority is not always right. I've heard since I've gotten to church that God and me make a majority. But even Brother Baggett's, he'll say, you're just one vote away from being out of pastor up here. So always the majority is not always right. And you can get enough people, if you have the wrong idea, you can get enough people, you can keep swaying them and swaying them, going from tribe to tribe or whatever, and talking about God and get the majority on your side. There are probably many of us here today that have problems that only God can solve. So let's be like Joshua and Caleb and believe that we can take over the land or the problem with God's help. But this proves that faith without works is dead. Caleb and Joshua had the faith, and they were willing to put the works to it. But you know, they suffered. They went through the wilderness and all the things. That, Moses, I said he was patient because he had to, I guess, pacify God's people for 40 years. They murmured against him. They even had a plague that God had that Moses intervened again for them. They fought battles. It wasn't an easy 40 years. We kind of get the idea that it was just 40 years of just, you know, doing not much or whatever. But God's people and him wanting to destroy them, you know. They all saw the miracles God did, and I'm sure at the time their faith was high. But they didn't have to work for anything. Any of those miracles that God did, he brought them out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea, closed the Red Sea, fed them manna, gave them water. They didn't have to work for that. But when it came to taking the promised land, there was going to be some work involved in there. And A lot of times we don't want to work for the Lord. And when it came time to put their faith to work, only 2 out of 12 said we can do it. We need to leave today saying and knowing that we can do it. I'm got to really hurry now. What will our report or our excuse be? I was too busy. My children needed me. I had no money. And this is the one I'm afraid I have to own up to a lot of times. I say, I thought everybody already heard about Jesus. Everybody that's my age, that I, you know, they've all heard Pentecost and they've all heard that. And I fess up. And maybe lazy, you know. And or maybe it could be this. You know, the devil goes back and forth, and he's accuser of the brethren all the time. But what if our report could be they're a faithful saint? God, they have good work ethics. You ever hire anybody? I had some Christians that worked for me with a phone company, and I always gave them more because I knew they was going to get more done. That's just self-preservation there. Maybe he or she that doeth good. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Maybe he or she uses the talents that God gave them. Nothing's more wasted or terrible than God gives somebody a good talent and they not use it. They're a prayer warrior. I mean, all of this stuff, somebody's going to fit into here somewhere. They have godly actions and reactions. You know, nobody in here is too old or too young. Even little Ariel back there, she has reactions and actions. You say, where's Papa? She looks around. She's on her toes running, and she's happy. And then there's the people that always say, what can I do to help? Let's be positive. Let's be the Jonas and Calebs of this world that the world needs here in our communities. You know, this is our Canaan land. Sulphur, Lake Charles, wherever you live, that's our Canaan land. That's the land God has put us in. So let's take that land. We don't want to be one that might cause our brother or sister to miss out on God's blessings, because, you know, a lot of people, not only from what I read, not only people over 20 that didn't make it, there was also some people in there that caused problems, doubters and unbelief and all that. They didn't get to see the promised land. But our faith or our lack in faith can do just that. If somebody, you know, don't let my lack of faith keep you from getting a blessing. I need to be with you, bind together. Me and Sister Toby are bound together. We're praying about something, and it's going to happen. Let's stay busy for the Lord so he can use us for his glory. But I guess that's fairly close to being it, what I had to say. But the main thing is, when you think about Moses in the promised land, think of Joshua and Caleb, how they came through. They had to go through the same stuff, but they were faithful in all things. And sometimes, you know, we can be faithful in a few things, but God, if you want me to get up in front of the Sunday school class, I don't know about that, you know. But we need to be faithful in all things. Let's be the Joshuas and the Calebs of this world. Let's don't be the 10 fearful spies. We have nothing to fear for if God's on our side. Thank you very much.